Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
This is an interesting little room. You see ladders connecting the floor of this two-story...
It's a library.
Library.
Oh,
that's what those little
do. They slide. Oh, I love it.
They do slide. There's three separate balconies above, and you see books.
Brother Ramius, you're going to love this room.
Okay, let's go.
As you come around the corner, a creature hiding behind one of the shelves jumps out directly at you. It is an insectoid looking creature.
There's a lot going on.
The two of you are dazzled for one round. You're dazzled for 1 minute.
Oh.
All right, Talitha is going to attack, because I got the bless, and I also can move into flanking position.
So 19 to hit this Djiriak.
Flat-footed.
Is a hit.
Yeah! Oh, huge.
7 points of damage.
A little bit of Roy Mustang for you. Pow!
And now it is the creature's turn. It's a 25 and a 28.
Oh.
That's a hit and a crit.
Oh, no!
And Talitha goes down.
Asa goes a little feral, and you see her just pop out of space. And then you see her reappear on the other side of this creature, blocking the doorway. That's going to be 21 to hit.
And you kill the...
Yeah! Oh!
The adventure continues. Now.
It's the first episode of March. March 2024. What do you think of when you think of old March?
Julius Caesar.
The Ides of March?
The Ides of March.
Did you read that play in high school?
I did not. Oh, like Shakespeare, you mean?
Yeah,
I guess I did.
Quote comes from.
Yeah, I did. I did read, but I don't remember anything about it.
No.
I do remember having to read it in high school.
Caesar dies.
Oh, come on. Come on,
dude. You got to warn people with a tag,
but
John.
They name a salad after him in the epilogue.
That's right.
That's accurate.
That's exactly right. What
it's
happened.
True legacy.
Period accurate.
That was, I did my classical monologue was from one of the ones I did was from that show.
Do you remember any of it?
It was Anthony Spitzis.
Go full on. Can we get a spotlight?
Yeah.
I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The good that men do lives after them. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is often tarried with their bones. So let it be with Caesar. You all did see that here upon the Lupercal, I did thrice present him a kingly crown, which he did thrice refuse. Was this ambition? Yet.
Hey, that was pretty good. Yeah.
That was really good.
Lettuce, egg yolk, Worcestershire sauce.
What was your?
These are some of the ingredients.
What was your classical model?
I was gonna say, was that your classical, bro?
That was the classical. Yeah,
I had a couple. I had a comedic and a dramatic. I think I did. God Stand Up for Bastards was my
okay.
That was my dramatic for a while, and then my comedic was the from Midsummer Night's Dream, the Player King, not the Player King. That's Hamlet. The
Hecuba?
No, that when no, he's doing the he's introducing everyone.
Oh, Porkins? Oh. Porkins?
I can't fucking
wait. Think of the Hamlet speech?
No, in Midsummer Night's Dream when the guy is telling he's basically introducing the play and he tells the entire plot of the play.
Oh, yeah, Primus and Thisbe.
Yeah, Primus and Thisbe. That's my thing. And I would act the whole thing out. It was really fun.
I did King John.
King John. Yeah.
Do fairly, Hubert, for so foul effect. Must you with hot irons burn out both my eyes?
Oh.
Wow.
Instantly dramatic.
I think he just got the part.
When to the sessions of sweet silent thought, I summon up a remembrance of things past. I sigh a lack of many a thing I sought, and with old woe, new wail my dear time's waste. Then can I grieve at grievances foregone. I forget the rest.
Oh, that's Dexter.
That's Lost. That's where I'm lost.
Lost.
Yeah. I was watching them both at the same time.
What do you think of when you think of March, Sydney?
My birthday.
Your birthday's in March?
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
Get out of here.
Yeah. A big 2-0.
This year, try the big 3-0.
Oh, wow.
Right.
This is the year? Wow. What date so I can be busy?
I'll dox myself in case anybody wants to send me a gift or whatever.
Wow.
It's a fun date. It's March 30th, and I turn 30.
Oh, 30
for 30.
30 for 30. 30 for 30. Start, Sydney.
Oh, yeah. She's right.
Is it in your calendar?
It is in my calendar.
It's a big birthday guy.
Yes.
Every time I hear like someone, this is my birthday, I always put it in my calendar.
It's a great, you're the best friend in the world, though, because then you know everybody, you actually know everybody's birthday. Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah.
Kate, what do you think of when you think of March?
Say my birthday, because now you have to say my birthday.
You should know.
It's a birthday, but it's not yours. It's Taylor Hansen's birthday is March 14th.
No.
No, you don't.
Are you talking about the Hansen brother, Taylor Hansen?
Kate.
You know, he's a bad dude, right? He's a real bad dude.
So,
that's what you think.
Yeah, I mean, obviously now they're not cool, but, you know, when I was growing up, I was definitely a Hansen girl and...
Goyle.
Really liked Taylor.
So what would you do on his birthday? Just like light candles around you and summon him?
Kinda. I'd be like, ooh, I love you so much.
Just putting silver dust on the ground and circles.
Come to me.
So Taylor many relationships in this life.
Taylor.
Maybe he'll come to you on your birthday on August
28th. Oh, no.
Oh, it's
it's August 29th.
Damn,
oh, he's 29. Good.
Okay. Michael Jackson's birthday.
I'll fix my, which also, is, and my sister's birthday.
You know why you thought that? Because it's a leap year.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Everyone in this room has a, everyone in this room has a half birthday. I don't get one because there's never a February 29th.
Oh, so well, there is.
Well, there is this, there is this year.
Every 4 years, there is a February.
Yeah, so you,
she's still on the Julian calendar.
You just had your half birthday.
Oh my God.
And you missed it.
Kate doesn't do daylight savings time and she's not using the Gregorian calendar.
You also have to divide 29 by half. I really want to just mess up Joe's. So on the February 13.5, that'll be 27. Matthew, March, does that evoke anything for you?
My sister's birthday is in March.
That's the number one thing you think of when you think of March? Like, shit, got to get her a card or a gift?
Her birthday is March 1st.
Oh.
So it is the number one March thing.
So what do you think of on like March 2nd on?
Growing up, it was always like, it was about time for a vacation. Like, I was, because it was like, it was the brutality of winter and no breaks except for President's Day. And you're just like, oh, March is a slog. And then you finally get to spring break. In college, it's March. But in high school, elementary school, was like, April was usually the spring break, right?
Did we get a spring break?
Yeah.
In high school? Uh-huh. We do?
Huh. I don't think we had a spring break.
You didn't have a spring break?
No, I don't think so.
Did you have
a spring recess?
I don't remember.
Oh, maybe.
But it was always it was just Easter break, basically.
Yeah.
And it was just a couple days. It was never like a full week, I don't think.
I feel like Catholic school, we had like, you know, Monday, Thursday, straight into Good Friday, like the whole good long Easter break. But then we'd also get a week off.
Midwinter break? Mm-hmm.
Midwinter, yes. Yeah. Now, in New York, kids have a week off in February and a week off in April.
Yes.
But they fucking go to school till like July, stupid.
Yeah,
like that.
Same thing in Jersey. It drives me insane.
Wait,
you want to hear something ridiculous?
Yeah,
yes.
I do. This really pissed me off.
Oh my gosh.
So last year there were no snow days because there was just no snow in the Northeast. And they decided that they needed to trickle like these days off in. And on Memorial Day weekend, they decided that they would burn one of these snow days so that the kids just had off. And instead of doing that on the Friday of Memorial Day weekend. They did it on Tuesday.
What?
The day after Memorial Day. When everybody has to go back to work and now you got to deal with kids at home. And we were just like, what is wrong with you? Like, what are you thinking?
You know what else they do now? Snow days, they don't get the day off anymore. It's now just a remote learning day.
Yeah. Oh my God. People were.
Which is garbage.
And then they weren't set up for it in the city. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't know about that.
They were not equipped. Like, they didn't have the infrastructure in place. So no one could log on. Everyone was angry.
Ugh, gross. Oh, I'm sure all those kids were furious.
Yeah.
Well, some teachers were eventually like, fuck it, just go enjoy the snow.
Yeah, just go sledding, for God's sakes.
Ugh, gross. Less school. Skid. What do you think?
Defund the schools, am I right?
I wasn't even going to talk about that.
Eliminated the Department of Education.
March. What is March?
Two things.
I think I know.
March Madness.
Yep. Yeah, there you go.
And spring training.
Yep, that was and it. Spring training. Yeah, pitches and catches.
Pitches and catches February, but March.
Yeah. Makes you think, like, it really, it's like spring is right on the horizon once you hear March.
Yeah.
I've always, every year, I threaten to go down to Florida for Mets spring training. I've always wanted to do it.
Let's go. Same.
You really should. That's a good bucket list item. I've always wanted to go to.
My mom and my sister used to go every year.
Do you want to go?
I would love to go.
Where is it? It's not near
St. Lucie.
I have to go to Fort Myers.
Yeah, that's the thing that sucks is like they're opposite coasts.
Because
we could all go in stadiums. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they play each other though. Yeah.
I feel like ours are close. Like, we're in Clearwater. So I feel like.
Is that close?
I think it's close to Fort Myers. I think it's on that end.
Yeah, I think you're.
That's, and of course, Norse Foundry's headquarters is like in Naples or something.
Naples.
Right near Fort Myers.
Oh, Naples. Man. We could roll some dice, watch some baseball,
crash at their house. And
we wouldn't have to pay for a hotel. Right, Norse Foundry?
Right?
Paying dice.
Hey.
Sex.
Yeah, our sponsor.
Yeah, we. I always want to go because you forget that though March is the start of spring, they do spring training in Florida because it is still winter here for all of March.
Yeah, I used to go
freezing and raining all the time.
That's the appeal, is to like go down and get some early spring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my brother and I would always go to like the first Red Sox game at Fenway. If it was opening day, we'd like maybe wait till day two. And you know, first week of April in Boston, it's freezing.
Oh, yeah, it's so cold.
Freezing.
It's cold. Terrible weather for baseball.
I love those April
games.
It's not
awful weather for some other
day. I know. There's terrible weather, like that nobody's there. You know,
it's the really sneaky ones are the September games. I was at work one year. Everyone was going to a Detroit Yankees game, and I was like, I'll watch the Tigers. Like, so I went. And it was September, and it was, you know, we were wearing shorts.
Yeah.
And then you get there and, you know, the temperature drops around 9 p.m. So you were all excited for the game. And then about, you know, an hour and a half in, it's suddenly freezing. And everyone's like, can't move.
Well, it'll be warm before you know it. Winter will be over. What I think of when I think of March is we are 1 month closer to November 1st.
Oh.
That's what I think of with every
As you were saying that, month. I was like, I know what he's saying.
That's what I think of. 1 month closer to celebrating Christmas.
I thought you were going to say closer to December 1st, but you're, I guess you, I forget.
Starts start. To celebrate.
I forgot.
Then he ends it the day before like a psychopath.
No, I celebrate Christmas Day. It's just not the same.
Celebrate Christmas morning. By noon, he starts ripping things off the wall in a drunken rage.
Start drinking.
He's wasted at noon.
Exactly. Your children like, just be like,
full morning.
Daddy,
there he goes.
This kid's going to have such a complicated relationship with Christmas because they're going to like all this enthusiasm leading up to it and then like all this tragedy when it comes.
I have such a complicated relationship with anything Troy likes. Because when you're in the flush of it, and it's not, and you don't have to live with him. It's great.
Yeah,
you're riding
around him. It's just,
and then all the
fiery intensity of like that just consumes it.
And he's always there because he's like upstate. He can't come down here and like hang out other places anymore. He's always at the house.
I know, always at the house.
It's like going out to drink with Troy. It is. I'll say like. We have our issues, but it's wonderful for the first like drink or two.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's so nice.
And then he just like goes tunnel vision on his phone, swaying at the bar, issuing nasty comments. saying things to the TV.
I don't sweat. I do make nasty.
He just gambles.
Okay, he's just a gambler.
Depends on the state.
Seriously, we're in Indiana at Gen Con. We're sitting there, and he's just like, "What's on? Is that college women's volleyball?"
He didn't even say
it. And he's just like, "They got it. They got it."
No. For a minute, he didn't even say anything. We're all, like, we had a big group. We're all sitting around having a good time laughing. He's on his phone being antisocial. And eventually, we're like, "What are you doing?
How's Berklee College of Music score this year? How's their front five?
How's their field hockey team looking this year?" But it is fun to come out with them. When, and that's because he really likes going out right now. That's great.
Yeah. I don't get to go out that often anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a lot of children.
Special treat.
Yeah. Coming here, though, not so great.
Not so great.
Oh. So, yeah.
What happens, Troy, what is your version of what happens every time we break for lunch?
We all go outside, mm-hmm. and you guys go one way, and I go another way.
Every
no matter what way
time.
We go.
I wait to see where you guys go, and then I go someplace else.
So I ask us all, like, what are you going to get? What are you thinking? And then we're like, what are you thinking? He just walks in a different direction than what we said.
Like, I'm thinking something different.
Something else.
That's his commitment to this sort of dramatically adversarial relationship that we have for the show. Yeah. It's just like in... Saving Private Ryan, where it's like they sent all the actors to boot camp except for Matt Damon.
Yeah.
They feel like an outsider when they're filming it. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
I'm Matt Damon.
You're very yeah. method.
You remind me of Matt.
Where That's was Matt I Damon heard. From?
Boston.
I bet he loves Christmas too.
I probably.
Yeah, but you know what? We don't have to just single out Troy, because producer Francis as well is.
I've never seen him eat.
He eats alone in there. When you go and you're like, "Hey, you want to talk?" He's like, "This is me time."
I don't know, but for some reason it's more normal.
I listen to you
in
a microphone in my ear. I don't want to do it at my lunch break.
For some reason it's more normal.
Francis does it in a normal way. Troy does it in a combative way.
Yeah.
I want to eat the same place you guys order from, because it's too many people.
We come back here and eventually we all eat together. You just won't.
But I'm all done. I'm already done eating.
Yeah, it's weird.
He's weird.
Just waiting. I'm like, guys, ready? Did you eat all your apps?
You eat all your apps.
I like to eat alone.
Some people like to be alone. There's nothing wrong with that.
Eat alone. I like to drink alone.
Oh, shit. Also, March 25th, anniversary of the destruction of the One Ring.
Oh.
That's right.
Something else to celebrate.
I do remember that.
Do they use the same calendar?
They do. Like, it's sort of, because, like, part of the conceit of the book is that it's translated into English. It is like an original work written in different languages. The Red Book of Westmarch translated into it. So they translate the dates into a calendar that we would recognize. So it's March 25th. Yeah.
So it's accurate. Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's March for you.
That about sums her up.
That's
March.
That
about sums her up. But as usual, it always comes back to how weird I am. Stick around after the break. Maybe I'll be here. Maybe I won't.
Maybe I'll walk the other way.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What would I do if I had an extra hour in the day? Let me think. I would finish that screenplay. I would finally finish that screenplay that I haven't started yet. You can write a whole screenplay in an hour, right? I probably actually would just get another hour into Baldur's Gate 3. But you know, a lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I've talked a lot about my experiences with therapy myself, and that's helped me a lot in my life, and it's helped me in ways that I couldn't have envisioned before starting it. It's been really great just having someone like that to talk to. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GCN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GCN.
We're back. I want to give a big shout out to our sponsors, of course, Foundry VTT, Norse Foundry, and Demiplane. And Demiplane produces these amazing character sheets where you can remove weapon runes you shouldn't have had in the first
place. That's true.
Which is what Sydney did in between last week's episode.
Did
with the click of a button, you can remove cheating runes from your weapons.
What made you think you could have such a thing?
I just think that my character, my creatively made character, had this cool weapon. Right. And it's maybe part of their backstory. I don't know. I guess you have to figure it out.
She would have one.
She had one. Mm-hmm. And when I sent my character sheet to our beloved GM, who most certainly looked it over.
Never seen it. Also was never sent to me.
It's very possible it was never sent to you.
Guaranteed she does draft emails and she doesn't
that's
send them.
That just happened last time.
I think I would put it at 50-50 odds.
50-50.
That Sydney sent it and you never looked at it and that Sydney didn't send it.
I'd also like to put money on 50-50 odds.
I'm 100% sure it was never sent.
Regardless.
Show us your email right now. I want to know the answer.
Regardless.
I can tell you.
There is, Joe and I were talking and, you know, it's cool. Like, yes, she could have this weapon. It's a plus one, like, to hit. It's really not that crazy of a bonus that I added. There are much higher potency runes, you know? I'm just saying.
Wait, is your argument? At least I didn't give myself a greater striking rune.
I could have given myself a gun.
It was right there on Demiplane.
I could have given myself a gun.
She's like gaslighting us right now.
Katana with a gun you
should,
to it.
You should thank me.
It's weird. My katana is also a gun.
I did you as a fever.
Wait, but hang on. I was just going to say I was wrong. And
I checked my email, by the way. No email.
I'll check my email. Okay. But Joe mentioned
drafts.
Joe mentioned a good point that within, you know, the game of Pathfinder 2E and the way that you level up and stuff, you wouldn't necessarily be able to get this until level 3. You can get a striking, I think, at level 4.
It's just typically, it's not that you can. The rules don't prevent you, but that's just generally the way it flows in a pre-written AP.
Right. So I don't want to disrupt the pre-written AP. I just think that it was a cool thing that maybe my character had from her past or whatever.
Dude, if you want to put a flavor rune on your weapon, rune it up.
She'll get a flavor rune. Her weapon looks really cool.
Maybe it's a rune that has like lost its power temporarily.
Oh, I love it.
Exactly.
Now something cool might happen that reignites.
Exactly.
Right. That's what the starting wealth is supposed to represent, right?
Sure.
Like, yeah.
It's like your assets, not just the gold you have on hand.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You could have inherited or found a really cool weapon.
Right. Which is like what you can do when you start, you know, sometimes you start with a fifth level character, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not that this character went to a store and bought these things. That gold number just kind of represents, like, here's what they came in with from either their adventures or was passed down to them or whatever.
Totally.
But when you're doing it from first level, you kind of have to pass down flavor shit and heirlooms as opposed to actual.
I think that's the difference, too.
Weapons of destruction.
We're starting from first level.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Here's the drawback.
Yes.
I think you've had this character now for 10 episodes. So for the next 10 episodes, you'll have a minus one to all of your attacks to even out the plus one that you got for the past 10 episodes. So can we just start?
Her face. Like can I'm trying to
producer
not strangle.
Start tracking that?
Hang on.
Episode 25 to 34.
In Sydney's defense.
Minus one alt.
In Cindy's defense, what we learned last week is that though she gave it to herself, she apparently didn't apply the on her character sheet.
Yeah.
So she cheated without the mechanical effects.
She cheated and then uncheated immediately.
I will say.
A real mess.
Real mess.
I crack myself up so often. But no, I think the truth is, as mad as anybody gets about like my math, and I'm sure there are listeners that's like, she's not doing this right. I nerf myself more than I help myself.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just 100%. Want everyone
that's for sure.
To
I will
know
agree
that.
With that.
That's
I will sure. agree with that.
And yet I do some pretty sick hits and tricks.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I will take it off. It's no longer on my character sheet. I love the flavor
it's
of
there.
It's an old rune in this katana, this red rune carved in.
That's something to think about. Yeah. It's like, why is it dormant or broken? And like, what do you have to do like thematically to kind of restore it?
So much more interesting.
Did you find this katana? Maybe it belonged to a once great warrior?
Did you steal it?
I can't
steal
from it.
Another
this
family?
Is part. This is, I think this
you
is probably something
small.
And like killed a child and then ran away.
It's cool though. Like, why can't I activate the rune? Is it not my katana? Was it not mine?
Are you not wise
enough? Can it only
yet?
Be activated?
Am I not smart enough yet?
Yeah. Well, what care like level wise? Like,
no, exactly. Better. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Can it only be activated if you're found worthy?
Oh.
Ooh.
See, this writes itself.
I'm doing Troy's job.
When you,
yeah. What do you do?
What do you do all day? Earn some money. She's here.
When you come up with a backstory scene, you should make it be about this.
I'm going to email you this time for real.
Okay. Check my email every 2.5 minutes.
This time I'll actually email you.
We were talking about Sydney and her emailing and the drafting, and I literally this updated version of her character sheet I sent her previously. And she was like, I don't have that updated version. I was like, I sent it to you. Oh, let me see. And I give her the date in the email. It's like almost two months ago when I sent it to her. And she's like, oh, yeah, I have a draft email that says thank you and was never sent. Come on. What were you waiting
that's
for?
Amazing.
Thank you.
What is that?
Comma Joe?
Series of events.
I'm going to hold off in case I think of something else.
I want to see if this feeling of gratitude sticks.
I'm a little too caught up in my emotions right now. We put this in a drawer.
I don't want to send this yet.
Jump to conclusions.
I'll send it later.
Maybe. Right now, I feel like thankful, but
am I thankful?
Yeah. Right. Parents always told me not to be too quick to thank.
I open it back up. I delete the exclamation point. I was like, that was too much.
I want to sound too eager.
I didn't send that.
It's a thing with millennials.
That's true. Amazing.
Yeah, you young kids.
If I didn't tell you, thank you.
Got it.
Getting back to the story.
Please.
Made up backstory. The episode last week featured you examining, actually a lot of the episode was you talking about this gallery of images, moving images that you saw, trying to interpret what you've learned so far.
Motion pictures.
Motion pictures. You might want to call them motion pictures. What you trying to interpret what you saw, how it connected to what you've learned thus far in the adventure, and then also trying to figure out what you still don't know. You then walked into another room, which seemed to be the studio of the artist that was creating these paintings, and one painting was left unfinished. The next masterpiece that showed Kanipo, you assume, sitting on a leaf throne with all these dead elves writhing at its feet. But just like the other moving paintings, this one, even though still in sketch form, was moving as well. And the elves were now joined by humans and dwarves and gnomes and all manner of creatures. Kanipo's enemies are no longer the elves, it seems. It's so much more. But then Kanipo themselves was fading out of view, and someone new taking the throne. You walked into the next room, and it was a library, two levels, ladders on wheels that could reach the higher levels, books and scrolls packing into every single shelf that was made out of the trunk of the tree itself. You walked in and this insect creature jumped out with a multicolored carapace of runes that seemed to give off a bioluminescent glow. It dazzled some of you as those runes exploded outwards in a dazzling display of color and then immediately took Talitha out with a vicious double claw crit. But you were able to finish her off. She now lies dead on the floor.
In her final moments, did she let loose a telepathic burst that let us know her name?
That's all that happened.
That's how you pronounce it.
One more time.
She's 7 feet tall, and that's all that came out.
Oh, the death rattle.
Is there, like...
giant insect.
Is there, like, any... knowledge, because like I want to know why this thing was in this room, because there's nothing in the other room, there's nothing in the gallery.
We know that they're the how do you pronounce what they're called?
Oh,
Dziriak.
It's like the apostrophe.
So they're local to the Plane of Shadows. So they would live here. Maybe it just lives in the library.
Huh.
Why don't we, maybe there'll be a journal of some kind, or maybe the library have library cards, like old school with the names of people who signed in.
Everyone who checked out each book.
I do want to check the body, though, before we start digging through the books.
All right, while you're checking the body, let me treat wounds on you, Talitha.
Yeah, let's get rid of this wounded condition.
Yeah, exactly.
Wound.
You did battle medicine. I mean, do you have to wait? Oh, no, that acts like treat wounds, right?
Yeah, but it does not get rid of the wounded condition. And yeah, I'm assuming you're still down.
It's only like point. 2 or 3 hit points.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'll do a regular medicine check. And I got it. So, yeah, you should be good with that. Oh, my God.
Max?
Min. 2 points.
Is that all you needed?
Of healing.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm down 3. So I don't lose.
You still have the wound.
No. No, you lose wounded as soon as I treat wounds.
Oh, treat wounds.
Oh, treat right. wounds, oh. not magic.
So you're just down 1 hit point now?
Yeah, it's fine.
I'll leave it at that.
Troy, that is a 20 perception, Asta, looking at the body.
At the body. You look at the body, you don't see any weapons, any type of armor. Its natural shell was giving it its protection. You were able to find a way in with your sentient blade.
I forgot about that.
But, yeah, no, nothing on its person. However, the room seems to be brimming with books yeah. and notes.
Yeah.
So can we, I mean, I feel like we should just kind of sit down and search this library.
Yes. Yeah.
So do we, can we?
Take 20.
Brother Ramius has been twitching.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure there's no one at the doors. Make sure.
Yeah, let's make sure.
Sure no one will surprise us. Because there are 3 different exits out of this room. We assume one goes back to the original area we came in from, but 2 doors to the east.
Oh,
that we have no idea what's on the other side of, so we should probably, I don't know, at least be prepared. We don't have to open them or anything, but be prepared for something to come in. But yeah. I'm going to go down to the southeast door and just quietly listen and just check it to see if there's any commotion on the other side. We already know this creature was lying in wait for us, so it's a little tough. 25 perception.
Listen to that southeast door. There's a northeast door, a southeast door, and then a south door, and then of course the west door that you came in. You listen in there. You don't hear anything. However, what'd you roll?
25.
25. You can tell that it's a larger room.
Cavernous space in there. I don't hear anything. Let's try to keep our voices low. And let's look at these books.
It is a library.
Exactly.
There's some sign respect. That says,
everyone
shh.
So let's take our time and perception checks to go through yeah. the library. Yeah.
Brother Ramius, yeah. I want to go up to the north for what it matters. I just think it's so cool and like climb that ladder and start up there and just start looking through these books. He is convinced that there is information in here that will fill in so many gaps from the paintings mm-hmm. that we were sort of guessing at. Maybe we can get some hard answers here. I mean, is it safe to say that we would take, like, a couple hours in here?
I think so.
I think so.
Yeah, why not? We'll all take right. a couple hours.
Take some time to really dig into this library.
Yeah.
Zephyr will definitely also climb around, too, just for fun.
Yeah.
I'll check out the stacks to the east up top there.
Buggles will concentrate on the lowest shelves. And aww. He's specifically looking for anything with pictures.
Let me get some either arcana or occultism checks.
Let's see.
As you examine these, because I would imagine for some of you, you can't make heads or tails of the significance of these books other than like sort of a cursory understanding, while others among you, depending on the outcome of your role, may see what's important here.
17 for Buggles on arcana.
Okay. 18 on arcana.
Listen.
I mean, this is a
when you did the North when you did the Norse Foundry. This is our sponsor. We're holding up our dice. Sydney and I did a flavor roll, natural one,
and then
whatever. Let it roll off my shoulder right. because we're not just actually
flavor.
Playing
flavor
yet,
roll, bro.
Rolling now, natural one.
Oh my god!
Different dice.
You accidentally
and
hit
still
a candle.
Norse Foundry.
You have been ice cold
last
for a
episode.
Month.
Last episode, you rolled. Multiple
I don't know
ones.
Which Woodstock witch I pissed off,
I don't,
but can you lay off with the hexes on me, please?
I'm going to say with that natural one, you knock over a candle and light up every book.
No!
Zephyr!
Sorry, brother, sorry.
It's Alexandria all over again.
I'll stomp it out.
And second all the doors, Alexandria.
All the doors locked from the outside.
That's so ridiculous.
19, 20 if it's related to Kanipo. Or my other pursuer lead is going to be Count Renault.
Okay.
And I'm also going to I'm going to clue Brother Ramius in. So you get a +1.
You don't want to give it to him, so.
Cool.
You know she's been struggling.
I need a lot of help. I don't know what I'm doing help. In here.
You bring that 1 up to a 2.
I'm not that good at
I'll just do pull-ups while I wait.
It's impressive.
One of the ladder rooms.
One of the ladders.
One hand.
Or two ladders, like parallel.
She's like practicing the jump like the, off like the that she like failed
parallel
before.
Parallel, like parallel rings.
Yeah. Just over and over parkouring.
What'd you roll there, Brother Ramius?
Brother Ramius got a 17 in occultism.
18. With
18 if it's related to Kinipo.
17
or
with off. That bonus.
Oh. Okay. Oh.
Yep. Can I roll a separate occultism check, or is it all, is it just, we could roll either skill to research the same set of topics?
Yeah, either skill. You just roll your favorite. It's going to give you the same information. So you're taking some time here, trying to see if there's a thematic sort of unity to these books, or if it's just the collected works of George R. R. Martin.
Right.
Just fantasy novels.
It's like, they're looking around, it's like, it's like an airplane bookstore.
What are fantasy novels in the Plane of Shadows? Are they just like drawing room comedies? Right, yeah, hyper-naturalistic.
They're all about things that happen in the material plane that are mundane.
There are books on accounting.
You feel as if the majority of the books tend to revolve around magical diseases, elven medical texts, codices on evil rituals and curses, and more of the same like that. So it seems like research was being done. You immediately start thinking of the Obnubulate Curse. Something was going on here to create the curse, to combat the curse, to enhance the curse. It's unclear. You imagine that this entire collection would be worth a great deal, but it's difficult to tell which of the writings are valuable and which aren't. A lot of them are in very poor condition as well. But as you're looking, you can't imagine that your focus is on how to fetch a great price for these things. It's to try and, you know, figure out what the mystery is here. With enough of those successful checks, I'll say that like three books in particular really jump out at you. There is a ancient Osirian scroll.
Ooh.
Concerning magical blights. A rare unburned copy of Curses Foul and Fell that's bound in eel hide. And a beautifully illuminated copy of The Physicker's Guide to Elves.
You're saying they jump out because they look really nice?
They look really nice, like you could probably sell them.
I'll take them.
So rather than grab everything.
I'd take them.
Well, I'll take
them. Asta takes them.
Asta takes all of them.
Asta, what are you doing?
I thought I would hold on to these.
Brother Ramius has a magical bag that can hold his books for him.
Yes. Well, perhaps I'll
you
hold
need
on.
To stay light on your feet.
I could hold on to the Fisker's Guide to Elves, probably.
Why?
Well, what if you...
Why? Why do you need it?
What if you fall? What if you drop the books? Shouldn't we keep some?
He's got a magical bag that holds his
books. Like a magical backpack.
Fine. Take it.
Thank you, Asta. I roll a perception on
What the fuck is just happening?
Absolute intruder. Elf killer. Yep.
Like natural 20.
Thank you.
Natural 19,
no
dude.
Shit, Sherlock.
27.
No, she must die.
I'll tell
roll
you.
Roll for initiative.
I'll tell you.
Shit.
I'll tell you something.
What are you, Troy?
A couple things are going to happen. Asta, you've noticed that Asta constantly is looking for glitz and gold and anything of value.
Mm.
With the teeth, you know, she took like the gold fillings and stuff. She's just money hungry. She is always looking for the most valuable items in the room.
Klepto has no compunction about stealing.
Maybe.
Could she steal an ancient, powerful katana?
Maybe.
From an innocent person.
Perhaps.
While they're still alive.
Who rolled the 20?
I did.
Talitha knows that.
Wow. You are the GM.
What can I say? And I'll hand it back over to Troy. Back to you, Troy.
Back to you, Troy.
Thanks, Sydney.
Okay, that's cool.
Stay warm out there.
I can't remember what you guys...
These books are far more valuable than the price they would fetch on the street. There is knowledge in here that buyers would not understand. It's important that we understand what's happening here.
Of course. I just...
Sorry, just get nervous when it comes to the... You have to understand, there were people within my order that went to great lengths to profit off of the stealing, selling, the profiteering of knowledge. It is part of the reason that my sect was created, to combat these corruptions that would occur among the powerful and the elite followers of the Keeper. So I'm sorry, it's not about you. It's more about what I've seen and how money can corrupt otherwise well-meaning people.
No, you were right. It was about me. I was being selfish. Of course, we need all this information.
Do you like to read?
Sometimes.
And I find a book that I think it looks like Asta would enjoy.
It's the Kama Sutra.
And I hand it to her.
That is a book with pictures.
It does have a lot of pictures in it.
Very graphic version.
Yeah. That's like the elf version of the Kama Sutra. Yeah.
Asta opens it. Oh, my. Oh, Buggles.
Buggles doesn't understand looking the significance of the pictures
Buggles,
at all.
Buggles, did you find this book?
Yeah, it's lots of pretty pictures. I thought maybe you'd enjoy it. I don't really understand what's going on.
It is... Darling, I'm going to hold on to this.
Oh, good.
Thank you, Buggles.
And one for me. And then I guess one for himself. Not of that, but he finds another, like, picture book. A picture-laden book for himself to peruse.
It's adorable.
It's just like a fairy tale book.
Great.
About a little girl that gets lost in the forest.
He takes it, and he's just like, puts it under his cloak.
Asta holds on to the Kama Sutra book. Tucks that into the robe.
Shadow Kama Sutra. Does the Desiriac have any kind of evidence of painting on her? Does she have paint on her hand?
As you
study... That's thinking like a detective.
You study
my magnifying glass.
Take your magnifying glass, remove it from the door, and start studying the body. You do see paint underneath her fingernails. In reading different things in the room, you get the sense...
WD-40.
Still alive.
That was the noise she made.
Yeah. We all stab her.
Signs of life.
It seems like she was hired to be an official court historian for Kanipo. And she went simply by the name The Chronicler.
That's so cool.
She's like looking through all these papers, and you see correspondence between her and Kanipo, and it's always signed The Chronicler.
So were the everything she depicted in the paintings was stuff that has happened?
Yes, she was basically commissioned to do that.
So that final painting...
But hasn't happened. It's not done.
It might be done. If Kanipo is already...
It could be done, yeah.
Could be done.
Man, and there's nothing in this library of her chronicles of Kanipo? There's nothing of her writing of what... like, what happened? Like, his
she did
memoirs?
It, she did it in the painting.
So only through the painting, not through writing.
Yeah, you get there. They're like some scanned
she
notes.
Paints paintings that move. What else do you want?
It's magic. Yeah.
You get.
Right, just
I'm just to kind of give you an idea from her, because she didn't really have a journal per se, but there are notes that lead you to believe that like she wasn't super thrilled with her work. I think it seemed like she was promised more, and it wasn't quite living up to the hype. But she was content enough.
And then we killed her.
And then you killed her. However, you do find, because if you're going to spend enough time there, you do find one other book that seems to be of importance, and that is a spell book.
Oh, nice.
As you open it up, there are, on one page, three crushed pieces of a mirror next to a spell. And then two other spells.
Crush mirror, is that invisibility?
Mirror image.
How do you identify? Is it just arcana? Is that how we?
Yeah, can we arcana?
Religion, if it's.
I'll roll an arcana.
Identify magic.
Natural
three.
I'll roll 13.
I mean, it just needs to be in one of the spell's traditions.
19.
What'd you get there, Austin?
13. Almost a nat 20.
Brother Amos, the Arcana?
Actually, no. And it doesn't matter anyway. I rolled a natural 4. And he's not trained in Arcana.
So, yeah, that's mirror image.
Ah, cool.
And then the other two spells you're not 100% sure of. Have any of you learned? Do you learn like a wizard, like through a spell book?
Yep.
Should, right?
Fucking yep. Sweet.
And I get mirror image is one of the spells that I can get later through my study.
I think you just got it.
You just got it. Man.
Done. Got it. It's the best part of Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
Scrolls.
Learn.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Like, scrolls.
Wait, do I learn it then? Do I actually learn it?
There's a process.
Okay.
But yeah, you don't have to
wait. Seek it out.
Level up. Or like wait to level up. Spend a spell. Yeah, this is how wizards win.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like one of the only things that wizards are clearly better at than sorcerers or who else am I thinking of? Or clerics, you know, like.
But if you find it, if you sprinkle it
you
in.
You can just buy it, find it, you know what I mean? Like, you can just, yeah.
You get to a point as you level up, you can start just amassing the ability to cast anything. It's just what you prepare each day.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah. Spellbook is like the best thing you can find. So this has three spells. One, Buggles feels pretty confident. His mirror image, and the other two, you're not sure.
Brother Amius is like, but we will sell this one. I'll slide it away.
One moment.
No, that's awesome. Take that, and then we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we can figure that out. Yeah, learning
that's
going to
get. I bet that gets crunchy.
I assume it's downtime.
I did it with Atticus. Yeah, it's like it takes a while. Okay. Hours at least, I think.
In the game, not in real life.
Correct. Well, it's going to take us hours.
Possibly to figure it
again,
out.
But yeah.
So you're no longer wounded there, Talitha.
No.
Great.
Could I listen at the northern door?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else is injured at all, right? We're ready to move on?
Yep.
Okay.
The door of the kind of a testament to your gameplay that you haven't had to rest yet. Been multiple encounters.
Yeah.
I'd love to rest, but we won't.
Well, let's see what this room is.
Yeah, I mean, this seems like a particularly horrible place to rest, unless we absolutely had to.
No, for sure.
25 on the perception.
25 on the perception. Every single room, eerily silent. This room was silent because Zephyr alerted the Dzeriak to your presence. Perhaps in that fight, you've alerted other people to your presence.
But also, he's silent because she's dead.
That now it's silent because she's dead.
Also, the Dzeriak just didn't speak.
It's true.
The Chronicler. All right, I'll open the
Chronicler. You open the northern door.
Oh.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah. What?
Whoa, what do you see?
Whoa.
Bedroom.
Bed.
I just see a bed.
Oh, I was going to say.
It looks like a noble's bedroom.
Yeah, fancy schmance.
There are yards of pastel fabric hanging on an elegant, however, very, very dusty four-poster bed. Same fabric laying on a nearby vanity, also covered with a thick layer of dust. There's a large painting on the wall to the north depicting two slender black and white creatures with skull-like faces and elongated teeth. And in like a grotesque portrayal of a family portrait, they're like holding hands and grinning toward you.
Ugh.
Yes.
There are scattered candles, crystals, and other occult accoutrements around the room, maybe suggesting some sort of magical project in process. It's unclear.
God damn it.
Another door stands in the southern end.
This magical process of the progress room is pissing me off.
Can I roll Arcana on the magical process and progress?
Well, these are occult accoutrements. You can go Arcana, but if you feel better with occult.
You can do occult. Let's see. Brief glimmer of something over an 11. Now a natural 5.
Where was the painting in the room?
To the north.
To the north? I want to go look at the painting.
It was a 13 of them.
It's like right there along that wall, and then to the north, the little north alcove has all of those little
knickknacks.
Could I, Brother Amius will look under the bed. Classic.
Under the bed?
Spin down, yeah, look under, see if he sees any
There's
monsters.
A skull-faced creature smiling.
No! Dude, that's not funny, man.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm gonna do an occultism roll.
You guys know how to get out of here?
Oh, 25. Natural 19.
Whoa.
20.
On fire.
5. Natural 19. There's all sorts of little things there, but some of them look useless to you. But one thing really stands out. It is like a small onyx dog. Radiates magical energy.
Just now!
That's onyx.
Onyx.
Six fans. Along with me and friends.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, I pick up the jewel.
It's like a little statue, like an inch high statue.
Oh, it's okay.
Of a dog.
Of a dog. Okay. So this seems significant, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's radiating magical energy. It's a small little...
He goes to Asta and is just like, does this mean anything to you? There's some power coming from it, but I can't tell what it is.
Huh. Asta takes it. Does this remind her of, like, the Gorgas at all? Like, the dark...
Yeah, a little bit.
It creeps, it buggles out, by the way, because it is a dog and it is magic. It's like, he's almost afraid to touch it.
So he did occultism. Could I do arcana on the magic that's coming off of
it? Absolutely, yeah. Okay. You want to identify the magic of this. I just have been kind of flavoring, instead of having you guys use detect magic, if there's magic there, I'm assuming you guys are detecting magic, and so you have this, you're feeling psychic energy from it, you try to figure out what it is. It does resemble a Gorga. But it actually looks more like an actual hound.
I rolled a 23 on Arcana.
It is a wondrous figurine.
Oh.
Of an onyx dog. So if you take it
cool.
and you place it on a flat surface, you can activate it and have a guard dog at your side.
Whoa.
Asta.
So we can sleep.
Very carefully gives it back to Buggles. And she says, this is a very special item, Buggles. It will protect you. If you place this down, it will become a real dog. She takes it back. She goes, what's wrong with him?
What's wrong?
He's
afraid of dogs.
He's pulling his hood down over his face, like crying. He's like,
what did you do to him?
Talitha goes over to try to comfort you.
Buggles, come over here. She won't hurt you.
Mean Asta didn't mean it.
He's afraid of a lot of stuff.
I didn't realize he was afraid. I thought it was just horses. He found...
So much more than horses.
He found this. It's a very special item. It will become a guard dog when you place it down. It's very magical. Probably worth a lot of money. Not that I would take it. He found it.
I mean...
But he doesn't want it.
We're not going to be able to use it. We might as well sell it.
It would set him off.
I will... Buggles, do you want to hold on to it?
It's very powerful. No one could ever set it down but you.
See, sort of very tentatively sort of crosses the room, and he takes out like a handkerchief out of the pocket in his in his cloak, and he like picks it up with the handkerchief and like balls it up and puts it in his little like satchel. He's just like,
thank you. Yes. Thank you. Sorry.
It's all right.
It's okay.
No harm done.
Now you have all the power. Isn't that funny?
You can hear it growling in your pocket. Muffled only by the handkerchief.
Muffled only.
Is it worth trying to perceive the room anymore, or do we think we've seen everything we've done between our various checks we've gotten?
There's a lot going on in here. I want to give you a little more information about this. You know how it works. Like, you activate it with a couple of actions, and it can be used once per week.
Oh.
And once it's activated, the dog is, a part of... It exists for 6 hours, basically. So you can use it to track. You can use it to hunt. You can use it to attack. You have to command it, and it will do things to the best of its ability.
This and is it, another thing that goes all the way back to like original D&D as well. This is
a wondrous item, like a But question: Would Austin know that this wouldn't be like beholden to Kanipo? Like, it's if we activate it, it's not going to like turn on us, right?
You think it's more like a genie? Like it's you now
doesn't remember every time it becomes sentient.
Right, you're not my master.
Okay, cool.
That is really cool.
Searching the rest of the room, if you guys are taking time in here, not obviously the same amount of time as you took in the library, a couple things jump out. One, the layer of dust on everything makes you think like this room has never been slept in. Hmm. Or hasn't been in a long time, at least. It looks completely
The bed is made?
Bed is made. Everything is like very regal. But that layer of dust, there's no way that anyone has used this for a long time, if ever. Second thing that seems strange to you is that along that northern edge of the room, just beyond the painting, up towards that alcove, you see that, like, you know, all the walls are made up of the tree, you know. The previous room, the tree was, like, carved to make the shelves for the books. Well, same thing here, but along that edge, it looks like hunks of the tree flesh have been smoothed, like smooth and removed, almost like they were going to be turned into another doorway leading east. But the project was never completed or abandoned.
They were carving out a new doorway.
Yeah, it looks like they were carving out a new doorway here, but it was never quite finished.
And I'm sorry, where is that on the map?
That is just along that northeastern wall, just above where I pointed out where the painting is. So kind of like just above where Zephyr's standing. It seems like a door was meant to go there. Then
can we look behind the painting?
Sided against it, behind the painting.
Safe.
There's a key.
Can I do an I'll check on the...
What does this do? Do I put it in my mouth?
Some sort of feeding mechanism?
With a pacifier?
Can I roll a check on the figures in the painting?
Yeah.
Yeah, go to town. Anyway,
I'm gonna laugh myself some more. What am I rolling?
You're trying to recall knowledge to see if you know anything about them. There's no sort of...
Arcana, occultism, religion?
Yeah, so like if it's religion, it's like, are these important religious figures? Arcana is like, it's giving off any... I would say Arcana would probably be the closest.
Society?
Or society, like are these important historical figures? That seems to be what you're...
Natural six.
No. The striped skin...
14.
Striped skin, like the statue when you first came in, had some striped markings to it. That grandiose statue where the tooth fairies emerged. But that doesn't quite look like this.
There also seems, I don't know if this is a foundry thing. I don't know if, it seems like the light is not working the same in here. Is that just an accident?
Your light?
It feels like it.
Oh, it's working. Don't forget there's still bioluminescent light coming from this. If I delete that creature. Yeah, you've got light. No?
Yeah, I do.
Just a little dim.
Okay, so it's the light that was coming in from the bioluminescent creature is making it bright light?
That was brighter. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So you're still like 20 regular, 20 dim.
20 regular, 20 dim, yeah.
Yeah.
That like almost carved door, can I like knock on it to see if it's hollow on the other side? Like, is there a room already there and they were making a door?
Yeah.
Or is it just solid?
Give it a knock.
Doesn't even matter what dice I use, you know?
Yeah, it does.
We're all rolling
great.
Got
this.
Perception knock?
It's not the worst. It's a 13.
13.
Perception.
Lucky 13.
Okay, you're bringing some scintillating energy.
13.
Some people enjoy playing this game.
When the rolls are cold, you know it sucks. We all know.
I want to investigate with Zephyr, but she's not doing it.
Yeah.
You knock, and it doesn't sound particularly hollow. So maybe that, you know, It had to be dug more to get to something else. You don't know if they were building a tunnel or just a doorway, or hallway, but it doesn't. It sounds pretty solid.
Or if they were starting an entire room from this doorway.
Maybe they wanted a non-suite bathroom.
Sure. And you couldn't get the permits?
Who wouldn't?
That tied everything up.
Yeah, that's held up the whole process.
All right, Talitha will listen at the door to the south.
Door to the south.
All right, there we go, 22.
You listen to the door to the south. Looking at the map here, you wonder if that's at all connected to that door in the previous room that Brother Ramius listened to.
Yeah, the big room. Does it sound big in there?
And the reason you think that is it does sound big in there.
Does it sound big?
Sound big? You're like right next to him.
I'm not going to play this game.
Francis left. Come on, man. It sounds a show. Man.
Play with us.
I gave Francis the laugh.
sounds cavernous. You get that same feeling that Brother Ramius described in its bigness.
All right. Well, taking the bigness into account, I will open the door.
And we'll be back right after this break.
Damn it.
Talitha opens the door. Ka-chunk.
Oh! Shut the door.
Close it.
Shut the door.
I can't see it.
Oh, this is cavernous as fuck.
Asta can't see it.
The bigness, though, is not my chief concern.
Oh, no. Asta can't see it.
I can't see. I can only see that it's huge. I can't see anything.
What do you
her
see?
Her angle.
I see a large table at the center with manacles and a large smear of blood.
Oh, I see it too now.
That is an entire humanoid just.
And then
blood
over on the side table. Or the sideboard, if you will, mm-hmm. has what look like surgical saws and other
this is where he's
implements
doing
of
the
torture.
Experiments.
Oh no.
There is a stained wooden operating table with a gutter around the edge of it.
Oh, come on.
And a variety of leather restraints standing in the middle of this enormous theater. A rack of immaculate surgical tools stands along the western wall, while a counter to the east, which maybe only Talitha can see, holds papers and pens and notes. You look down at the floor, and the floor has been carved in these elaborate geometric designs.
Like parquet.
There is
butter.
There's an alcove to the northeast that, not unlike the artist studio, holds a bed. Of course, instead of a thing of rags, there's an actual bed there. There are doors exiting every which way, and it seems like to the south there is a staircase built into the floor leading up and out of sight.
It goes a ways, too.
I'm not seeing most of this. We have to get in the room first. Yeah. All I'm seeing is the examining table with the blood.
Perception check to see if there's anyone in the room from where I'm standing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do the same from what I can see.
18.
16.
Why not? Ooh, natural 17.
Bam!
21. Oh.
21.
I can't really see anything in character, but that is a natty 19 for a 23.
Okay.
Re-listening. Hark.
Hark.
So Zephyr and Asta, sort of looking past everyone, no one sees anyone, but you both get the sense that someone has been in here recently.
Unrelated. Since my flurry of blows, when I use it for my hands, I can also use it with my feet. Mm-hmm. I'm erasing the pre-notion of, I put my bow away. I always have it in my hand because I can still use flurry of blows with like my hands and feet and still have my bow in my other hand.
Oh, always that's great. Have it.
Just a side note.
You've always heard it here first.
Bowing.
Yep, always be bowing.
Always.
So I have my bow in my hand. Casually.
Casually have your bow in your hand. What do you do?
Talitha will step into the room. Ooh, there's a bed here too.
Yeah, I described the bed, but now you can see it.
Now I can see it.
Creepy.
Ramius comes in. Zephyr, Buggles, and Asta are slowly making their way in.
So he's going
to
head
right over to those notes.
Yeah, I'll read them.
Okay. Buggles, are you staying at the door?
I'm trying to come in. I'm in.
Okay, Buggles is in there with Ramius right at the doorway. Ramius is light, emanating out, just covering the table, covered in blood. Asta and Zephyr walk over to the surgical instruments. Talitha walks over to the notes. At the instruments, you notice everything looks perfect. Like, if they're being used for experiments here, then they've been cleaned and shined and placed in a perfectly ordered fashion, from smallest to largest, grouped perhaps with some sort of order that you don't understand, as you are not surgeons or whatever the people in this place are. You come over to the notes and start looking through them. There are diagrams, carefully illustrated diagrams of different people in various stages of being vivisected. And they're very, very descriptive and very highly illustrated, so that you see what these people look like. And it looks like you see them as they were when they first arrived here, but then you see what happened to them through various experiments. Some of them have like elongated limbs. Some of them, their faces have been stripped of all muscle and fat. And others have other very strange, grotesque transformations. Give me a perception check.
What is going on?
24. That is 17.
You're looking at all these different people, and you see what looks like the most recent subjects. A youngish woman, an older man, and then a younger man. And the thing that jumps out at you is he has a wooden septum piercing. And at that moment, in the back of the room, a figure materializes out of, like, thin air. And it is a feminine figure, and she has long black hair, and she's wearing a mask over her face, a mask that seems to just float in front of whatever's behind it. Her clothing seems to not be completely corporeal, like it almost seems to be made of shadow stuff. And not unlike the picture you saw in the previous room, everything, including the mask, is decorated in black and white stripes, except for her hands, which are covered in blood. And she looks at you and just shakes her head. She says, "You, Kanipo, chose you over me." Obviously, you can't see her face. She points and she says, "They are mine. You fleshy interlopers." Roll for initiative.
Oh, no.
Seems like these people are not even in direct contact with Kanipo. I don't get it.
I've never been called that before.
Fleshy interloper? No,
I don't know how to take that.
Fleshy interlopers.
Fleshy interlopers.
What did you get? Zephyr.
I was gonna, oh. What the heck? Confuse me.
First person on my list.
23.
20. Nice. Three.
Beautiful. For Zephyr, Talitha.
12.
Oh.
Brutal.
I'm assuming I was perceiving.
So you need to do better.
Yeah, I know.
True.
Natural 5.
Asta.
6. The fleshy interloper threw me off.
Oh.
Confused.
Brother Ramius.
Is that a rollable initiative?
I rolled a 2.
Jeez.
4. Poop.
Stinky.
Stinky.
17.
17. And finally, Buggles.
14.
14 for Buggles.
Let me guess.
Enemies in this game just always roll.
you lie about so every initiative roll. Look,
I pre-roll every single initiative before we start. And Mask Woman has a 27.
What's her perception?
What did you roll?
Right?
Let's see.
Like if you rolled
A nat 20,
you rolled
all
a, nine,
your characters,
a natural 9, and she's just.
I rolled a 17.
So
I want to start tracking 10. Every initiative.
So what's her perception is a plus 10?
Mm-hmm. Here's what she looks like.
Huh?
I looked at you.
Oh, here's what she looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. Cosplaying as the enemy.
Oh. Very cool.
That is very, she looks like a murderous harlequin or something.
It looks like,
you know what? Yes. Actually, she does look like the Eldar, one of the Eldar harlequin from Warhammer 40K.
It looks like under the mask, her face would just be like smoke or something.
Yeah. Is her hair smoky?
I mentioned that like it looked like the mask almost was just floating in front of whatever it was behind it. And the image, I think, doesn't quite drive home the way I described it in that like the clothing, the way it moves, it doesn't seem to be made up of like just cotton. And remember what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Kanipo chose you over me.
Over me?
They are mine.
Talk about.
You fleshy interlopers.
Have we met Kanipo before? In the missing moment, perhaps?
Mm. Oh, maybe.
Well, yeah, maybe.
He knew what we looked like enough to have someone to commission a painting of us.
Well, he was also there.
He was there.
Yeah. But makes you wonder if we've had experiments done on us already.
Yeah.
We're sent back in.
Our markings.
Someone marked us.
Our markings.
Our special abilities.
Our deviant traits.
Yeah.
Deviant traits.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be so terrifying. It's something we don't talk about enough is like not knowing what happened during that lost time.
Terrifying.
Yeah. It's got to be very.
That's the whole reason for this investigation. That's why I'm like, I don't give a shit about Kanipo if it doesn't point to exactly what happened the night of the missing moment. Right.
Well, there's also
that's the mystery
thing about ending the world. So I care a little bit about that.
Eh.
We don't have to live here.
All right.
Let's
so
rock.
Here's what we're going to do. She is going to slide up to Talitha. And she is going to.
I found the combat.
What did you do to him?
You are never going to get to fight.
It's just. It ends up being the placement. You're like the party lead. It's like you and Asta. You went one way, Asta went the other. She slides up to you, and goes to touch you with a spell. She goes to touch you, and you feel very, very cold.
Oh, no.
Give me a fortitude save of the basic variety.
18.
18.
Give me a premium fortitude save.
That is a fail. Okay.
Plus.
Oh, man.
Orange is my worst save.
All right, so she goes up. Poor Talitha.
And?
Cast this heightened John. And it's going to be... 9 points of void damage.
Void damage.
As she's just like sucking like entropy out of your body, just like sucking. And it was just a fail, it wasn't a critical fail. It could have been a lot worse, but just start sucking that out of you. And that is her turn. It now is Zephyr's turn.
Ooh. First action. Ooh. Second action, first action. I'm going to move up.
Second action. Yikes. You have one more action.
I'm going to move up behind her here, so she'll be flanked in between Talitha and I.
What is your perception?
My perception is a plus 4
by
default.
A couple things happen. As you move exactly in that direction,
no,
you don't notice
that
the floor gives way.
Oh, no.
It's all right.
The floor opens up like a trap door is triggered as you step on it, and it opens up quickly. Give me a roll to try and grab an edge.
Okay. Is that athletics or acrobatics?
It can be grab an edge could be athletics or...
Oh, can it?
Yeah, I believe so. Let me just make sure.
Save.
Grab an edge, because I read this
reflex
earlier.
Reflex is also my best save.
If you grab an edge, you can do acrobatics or reflex.
Okay.
So perfect.
Acrobatics.
I'll do acrobatics.
Well, if it had to happen to one of us.
Yeah, this is like the best person.
No, okay. Mm.
92.
No. Oh, my God.
10.
Oh.
Okay, you fall.
Oh. Okay.
And a couple things happen.
How far?
You fall 20 feet.
Okay.
You take 10 bludgeoning damage from the fall.
But, Catfill. Oh, ah, fall. Yeah.
Okay.
10 feet shorter.
All right, so then you don't take any damage from the fall.
This feet. Oh.
That is a good feat.
Yeah.
However, you will take some damage from the spikes at the bottom of the pit.
Oh, spiked pit.
You take 6 piercing damage from the metal spikes jutting up from the pit's floor, and you feel something seeping within your skin.
Ooh.
There are other bodies lying around you at the bottom of this, like, corpse disposal pit.
They just tilt the table up and slide the corpses down to the pit.
Yep. Give me a fortitude save.
Okay.
Kate always triggers
track. So tired of rolling dice. 15.
Everything seems to be just fine.
Oh my god. Some sort of corpse rot.
So now you are, you know, first action was you moved, you triggered all this, and you fell down. Now you're 20 feet below. You have to climb up.
Is it climbable?
It is climbable.
Well, that was my first action, was falling into the death pit.
Yep, so it's athletics to climb, and then what is climb
speed? First, you got to get up.
Oh, yeah, first, second action.
Come on.
Stand up, navigate these spikes. Something feels weird.
Third action,
you
can climb, and you're
going
to be, it's like 5 feet per action.
Yeah.
It's going to take you like 2 more rounds.
I think eventually like a monk can do these things faster if I take certain feats, but it's not anything that I have currently, although I am good at climbing with my acrobatics and athletics. So yeah, I get up and I start climbing.
Okay. Give me an athletics check to see how far you make it. If you critically succeed, you can move double, which would be 10 feet, right?
I believe so.
I don't think Kate critically succeeds.
12. All right. So you start climbing. You're grabbing handholds. You're like lifting yourself up from these other corpses. And you get 5 feet up. 15 feet to go. Brother Ramis, you see Zephyr be like, got this. Whoa!
Zephyr, no!
It's amazing, though, the way you landed. You landed and the spikes went like right through your feet. So you didn't.
Oh, how?
Maybe you landed very delicately on the spikes and you're just like.
Brother Ramius.
Brother Ramius is going to move around the table. He is, just like when Zephyr fell from the rope, from the cut rope, it triggers something in him that he cannot stop but move toward somebody who has fallen. And he goes up to you and sees that you're already like working your way back up and makes his realization, thinks maybe next round I could even help you, like pull you up for the last little bit or whatever. But for now, he just looks up and we see this hatred in his eyes, tired of these outsiders and their demonic influence trying to hurt his friends. And so he is going to fire off a divine lance at the creature.
Nice.
So here we go. 13 to hit.
It hits Talitha.
Hits Talitha for max damage.
I wonder if a divine lance, when it misses, if it explodes or if it just like hits the back wall or if it just.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it means when it misses.
That's firework.
In this case, let's just say somehow it gets consumed into the like shadow stuff that she's made of. It makes you like worried that she's so unholy and she's just eating it. I don't know. Like a black hole eats light.
Brutal. Any actions left?
Nope. That was 3 actions.
Buggles.
Buggles is going to move up.
Buggles.
He's going to take a step up to...
Everyone knows it's Buggles. Buggles.
He's going to sort of brace himself behind the leg of this abattoir kind of table, this autopsy table. And he's going to ignite the Roy Mustang. Nice. Boom. That's awesome. 21.
21 hits.
Excellent.
Awesome. 6 points of damage.
Boom. 6 points of fire.
Fire damage.
The mask shudders, expressionless.
Triggering her weakness to fire.
Behind you.
Awesome.
Immolates. Talitha, it's your turn. You're standing next to this thing. Heat has been removed from your body.
Yeah, from Talitha's perspective, she just got like her, the heat of her body drained from her. Zephyr started running on the table and just disappeared.
Yep.
Things aren't looking great. I'm going to do a devise a stratagem.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm going to It's an 11, so I will use that. I'm going to take my free knowledge check first, though, for my known weakness.
Free knowledge check?
Free recall knowledge.
This is going to be an important recall knowledge. Yeah, so I probably should have done big. It.
18 arcana.
18 arcana. This is a creature that has not appeared in the Glass Cannon podcast.
Ooh.
Oh. It has appeared on Side Quest Side Sesh.
What?
Whoa. Oh, no.
It's a Shay.
Yeah.
Oh,
Shay. We didn't do so great about with the Shay last
time. No, Shays have been very, very bad to the party.
Didn't the Shay cause the TPK? Was it involved in the TPK?
TP Shay. This is a Shay.
How do you spell Shay?
S. No, you can't Google that.
I'm not Googling. I'm taking notes.
Gmail to yourself?
I'm taking notes.
Shay. S-H-A-Y.
A-Y. Okay.
That's A.
She'll never...
I was looking at you. Wait. Like, oh, I know what he
said. I just wanted you to look up Dan and Shay.
How do you spell it?
S-H-A-E.
Don't worry. She's not going to mail it.
Yeah. She's never going to send
she'll
it.
She'll forget about it.
It's not hooked up to the internet. We didn't give Sydney the...
the Wi-Fi.
The Wi-Fi.
Okay, I'm even with my I'm using my intelligence bonus to attack with the rapier. That's almost
I can give you a piece of useful information too, if there's something because you succeeded, but just one piece. Is there something you want to know?
Anything she's weak to?
No, I can tell you that she's resistant to cold and void.
Void.
Good to know.
Which would be helpful.
I share that information.
She's resistant to cold.
I was playing a game. I'm running a Traveler home game because I'm obsessed. And I was playing, and something happened I'd never seen in all the years we've been playing, all the games I've played. Something happened that I've never seen happen before, which is somebody did the equivalent of a knowledge check, and then I was like, "Do you share that information?" And they were just like, "No." like they weren't being funny. They were just like, in the moment, I would not share that information. I was just like, "Okay,
wow,
what an interesting role playing choice."
All right. I'll see if this hits. So I will use the attack. That is a 19 to hit.
Yes.
Yeah. I figure. Damn it. All right. And then
rising, looking for a way in, and just stick it right into shadow stuff.
Talitha is then going to move and hope that she doesn't have an AOO, and she will move to the northwestern corner of the room, and that will be her turn.
You move to the northwestern corner. The room. Okay.
By the door that leads back into what looks like would be the doors of the library.
Yeah, smart. I mean, you've been a punching bag for these enemies thus far within Kanipo's court.
She's weak to cold. She's resistant to cold and void.
She's weak to cold? Great.
No.
She's weak to cold.
Empowered by void. Das's turn.
Okay. How high is this butcher block table?
So high, dude.
That table has got no eyes.
2.5 feet, same as this table.
So easy, she could realistically run, jump on the table, and jump over the other side.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. Joe, who loves
me out of this,
loves to point out when you specifically do something he doesn't care for.
I love to.
That
I love
not
to,
how that conversation happened.
One, I believe it. Two, go on.
two episodes ago.
I ran on a table.
Before we started recording last week's episode, he pulls me aside and goes, "Listen, I didn't want to make Sydney feel bad yet again for something that she did that was incorrect." But he's like, technically, leap in and of itself is an action. So you can either move, leap, move, or if you can leap, move.
Why can't I move, take a large step onto a table?
That's a second action.
And take a step off.
That's a leap. You're leaping onto the table.
A large step? Are you 16 feet tall? I mean a large step.
Can you stand? Can you stand up?
Could you step up a 3-foot table?
You're going to make her step up onto this table?
Let's see if you can just step in one.
And her skort?
And that...
Look how smooth.
Yeah.
Right in the flow of combat.
That's a full action. Actually, for you, it might be 3 actions.
If I wasn't wearing a dress, I could have done that so easily. Okay, so you're telling me no?
No, Joe said it.
Oh, what are you saying? Because you're my GM.
Here's what I'm saying. There is a leap action where, you would have to leap to traverse the distance without going around, but it appears you could just go around.
Yeah, I'm just going to go
around. One move action.
I'm going to go around.
Yeah, if you've got the movement.
I do.
You have 30 feet or you're a 25 footer?
I'm a 25 footer.
Okay. You might have it.
I could get to...
Oh, you know what? Let me put yourself back there and let me reveal the pit to you guys, because you would know what the size of the pit. It's actually
Reveal the pit.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually
Open this pit up.
It's a big pit.
Oh.
Never mind. You cannot run around.
That's a big pit.
So that changed.
She can go around the other way.
Can I?
Yes.
25 fizzle?
Can. 20. Yep, I can. I can get diagonal the other way.
You can.
So I will run.
Okay.
Do.
Run around.
Right when you get next to her.
Oh, my God.
She just winks out of existence.
Son of a bee.
And appears next to Brother Raimi.
Oh!
Just like blips in and out.
All right.
After you use your entire complement of movement.
So that was my first action and totally changes what I'm going to do. Gosh darn it.
How cool is that?
I'm going to do...
Not cool at all.
You know what?
Hello.
I was going to do a move and a spell strike, but I will just cast a spell instead from a distance.
Okay.
So I'm going to cast...
From a distance.
Phase Bolt, one of my cantrips. I point my hand, or I point my katana, and I'm going to make a ranged spell attack.
It shoots out of your katana?
It shoots out of my katana.
Sweet.
That's going to be 23 to hit.
That's it.
Okay.
Oh, excellent.
And actually, I even reduce, if there's any circumstance bonuses to your AC, I get to reduce it by 2 when I do this specific spell. Isn't that cool?
That's pretty cool.
Okay, on a success, I deal 1d4 piercing damage. Plus my spellcasting
ability. Probably
a
circumstance bonus for cover, right? Like, that's what cover probably is.
Yeah, so like a phase.
Yeah, so the phase bolt would go
would
through.
The cover. That's so cool.
Pretty cool. So that's going to be a 3.
3 points of damage. 3 total?
Yes.
Real cool.
It's a cantrip. I'm out of my level 1 spells.
I know. That's why you were like, I'll rest.
Yeah, I would have loved to rest. And that's my turn. That's 2 actions.
Top of round 2. Mask woman.
Oh my god, and she's next to me. All right.
I tried.
See ya.
See ya.
It's been a good fun playing with you guys.
Bye. I won't be bringing back a cleric. Just
man, so and I mean, because of where the pit is, you are trapped there. You know, and like she could stay there all day, and like maybe Asa can come over. The last time she did that, boom. So standing next to Brother Ramius, man, I mean, I gotta touch you.
Mm-mm.
Give me a fortitude save. Basic. You basic.
Basic critical fail coming right at you. Oh! Come on, Norse Foundry. Come on! 21.
Oh. You're all right.
Hey! Oh! North Foundry! Run your own remember generating me!
So you'll just take 3 points of void damage. Just you feel that little bit of cold enter your body.
I didn't even feel it. okay, down 3.
Ugh! And then she'll attempt to stab you in the chest.
With what?
With a dagger. 20.
Hit.
A couple things are going to happen. First, you're going to take 7 points of piercing
damage. Oh, come on.
Not unlike her chill touch, you also take 4 points of cold damage. A dagger, as it enters you, pierces your skin. Blood comes out, and you just feel ice in your veins.
Yeah, this is... It's just really hard. It's really, really hard. Okay?
She leans in. You are not worthy.
And he's just terrified.
Zephyr.
I'm gonna climb up the wall.
Just a reminder, you only fall on a critical failure, which would be a 1.
Why do you say that?
Just wanted to let you know.
What are the odds that she'd roll just a 1 on this roll?
I've already rolled so many 1s.
If you succeed on all 3 of these checks, you will be up by the end of your round.
3 of these checks?
If you crit, then you might get an action at the end.
That's athletics I'm rolling?
Yes.
Natural 19.
There you go.
There you
go. 26.
Oh, 26. That is a crit.
That's crit.
Oh!
All right, so you're now 5 feet from the lip.
5 feet away. Grab her legs and pull her into the pit.
Can she do that?
I mean, you could grapple her. Yeah, I guess you could.
Grab and reposition? You can shove.
You can shove, yeah. You would be like a grab. If you get... You can't do it this turn, but it might be something to think about. Basically, you can...
She could.
She could. grab.
Climb right now. She still needs to climb.
Right. You have
you're still 5 feet.
You have two
down.
More actions. Yeah. So you got to climb. Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens.
Okay. Okay. Let's not get too excited, you guys. Ooh, that one's good too. That's natural 15. Oh, 5 and 7 are always hard. 22.
22.
5 and 7 are always hard.
All right, so that's another crit. So you're able to get up.
Scamper right up and out of there.
Yeah, so the question is, you're wondering if you can grapple her and throw her in?
Like, as I'm coming out, like, grab her, chuck her in.
You can attempt a grapple check with your third action, and then next round try to reposition her if you so desire.
You can shove as a single action, but I think you'd have to be in position, so you have to be able to shove her back into the pit. So that wouldn't work, but...
Yeah.
Also...
I mean, grappling would be cool. It's just you don't have that third action to pull. What I would say is if you wanted to grapple her and fall backwards, you could both go in, but then you'd be exposing yourself to that.
Yeah, and he's going to make you roll in a stupid high DC, and right. Then you're going to impale yourself.
So no,
grapple is just
up.
Like a... against the
I'm saying for the whole shebang.
DC.
I climb out the hole. Can I be... Like, yeah? Since I can't climb up anywhere else because it's all blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And the second I fucking get up there, I whack her across the face with my flurry of blows.
Yeah.
I go left hook. Poof. Right in the head.
Left hook.
Sorry. Everything has to stop.
What?
I forgot about the bow.
She didn't.
I don't have it out.
She wasn't unconscious.
I mean, you did. You said
I was just climbing.
You said your bow is always out.
Yeah, I was just climbing and I fell.
So if you fell and the bow was in your hand, you lost the bow.
That's not true.
Oh, okay, if the bow is in your hand, you have to stow the bow before you can climb. So we're one action short.
You're one action short, yeah.
Why are you doing this
to me? I'm just telling you what's
in
the
rules.
That's
isn't
not the rules.
The
absolute, that's you trying to
enforce something. Why can't you let us have fun?
That is the rules of the game.
You can't climb.
You have to climb with two hands.
You have to climb with empty hands, yeah. So that's just one thing we forgot. And you did make a big point about you have the bow in hand, so you just stow it. So just make one more. Actually,
you're out, and that's it. That's
you crit twice, so you're out. But your third action is drawing the bow, unless you want to just start punching.
I'm not drawing the bow.
It doesn't need the bow out to start punching.
She doesn't need the bow. Joe is saying she would have had to. She would have had to spend an extra action to stow the bow before
to
she
climb
started.
With,
so now
with
her third action.
I think we've already moved
up.
Our hands off the chess pieces, and I just rolled two crits to climb.
So, but that's an action from a previous round. We've had to stow the
from
bow
from two previous rounds.
No, it was the first round. It's only the second.
11 rounds ago.
So basically, last round, you fall, one action. Move, one action. Second action, get up. Third action, grab your bow.
Unless you leave the bow down.
Fourth action, stow it. So we're being nice, actually. No. Yeah.
Right, so that's the end of your turn.
She can also, free action, have dropped the bow.
Yeah, you can leave it at the bottom of the pit and
if
still
you
have
want to leave
action.
The bow down there, then you've got an
then
action.
You still have this
to go get it after we kill this lady.
Or can you force pull it up?
I don't know.
May
I feel
chance.
Like my turn's getting convoluted at this
Ooh, actually,
point, so I feel like it's over.
Yeah, actually, well, we messed around with this before. We let people climb with the weapons.
I think Lucky's done it.
Yeah, and we're really not supposed to do it.
Yeah.
I think you, I mean, you could leave it down there if you want, and just we could get it later, and I could maybe use my deviant ability to get it. That would be fun.
I mean, yeah, we could do that. Just because I'm not going to use it in this room if she can blink.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if I get far away from her.
That's so frustrating.
Yeah, I'm fine with retconning to say you leave it down there. That's kind of what we did without meaning to.
Yeah, let's just do that because...
You want to punch her?
You're a monk. You're a ninja.
If I roll shitty on this, Joe, I'm coming for you.
Yeah. Why me?
I'm calling it.
If you roll shitty on this?
Yes.
What does this have to do with the bow?
She's
going
to kill your character.
I'm going to smack your character instead. So yeah, last action, flurry of blows, left hook to the head.
Ooh. Let's go.
Ooh. Math. 23 to hit.
Bam, bam, bam.
Hit. And then the fortitude save stuff. How do you want to do this, the order?
Now, this stunning fist has the incapacitation trait, right? Okay, and which means you can't do it to creatures that are of a higher level than you. I can't remember.
No, their success has just stepped up.
Right.
Okay. So we have to critically fail to just fail.
Right. So fort save. I doubt that I critically failed with a...
If you didn't roll a 1, you didn't critically fail.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I just can't find my fort save right now. I'm very fired up.
Oh, but the rules for me, but the rules for him? What's your fort save?
What? All right, I'll tell you.
Tell me. And while I'm doing
19.
19?
Is that a critical failure?
No, that's a success.
It's just a flat out success.
He critically succeeded.
So I critically succeeded.
So
you fall back in the pit.
Exactly.
This
stun yourself.
This is why you guys aren't my friends. So that's 5 points of damage from my fist, and then I take my foot, because I thought I had my bow in my hand still, so I was going to, like, do my leg, but like a right rear front kick. Mm-hmm. But I'm still going to do it, even though my bow's not in my hand. So
okay.
Love it.
Next
kick to
one.
The face.
Ooh.
Ooh.
23 again. 23 to hit.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a hit.
Amazing.
1d6+3. That's 6 points of damage.
Nice.
6 points.
So
and just confirming,
to the head,
she
kick
has
her in the
no
gut.
Resistances.
That's combined
because those are combined. Just
unless that was a cold or void punch.
Right.
You're okay.
Void punch.
Void punch.
Void kick.
So she's bloodied. She's diseased, probably, but she's.
She's still kicking.
Kicking and fighting this void lady.
You know who's not kicking? Brother Ramius.
No. Brother Ramius is... Zephyr's up and out, so he is going... He just has to run away from this woman. He can't fight this woman toe-to-toe. So he is going to step away. And, man. The thing is, with this teleport, she can just show up at any moment.
We don't know if she can do it all the time. It's true.
It's felt like a reaction to me.
It was a reaction.
So,
yeah.
I mean, if it's like a... reactionary spell that's like you can use it once, like a focus point or something like that, then we'd be good. But if she can move every time once per round that we move up to her, we're gonna have to do ranged attacks to get her out.
Metagaming.
True. And your knowledge check did not tell us anything about that ability.
Well, I blame Troy because I asked for weaknesses and then he decided and then he
well, yeah, you asked for weaknesses.
I asked for weaknesses.
It's so often that
none.
We ask
I could have
for
been
weakness
like, she has none.
And
who's
he
next?
Just says they have none.
Yeah, you know what? You know what the question should be is what is the coolest ability she
can
have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
What's the most OP thing it has?
I bet you there are people like, does she have weaknesses? And I say no.
What is
okay,
the
whose turn is it now?
What is the aspect of her you would least like us to know?
Like, but that's not how a knowledge check works, where it's like you can't be like, all right, I'm trying to understand what this creature is and what they do, and you're like, you didn't ask your brain for weeks.
Right, I know.
She's holding a dagger.
Yeah. All right, so I am going to move.
Okay, you move away from the creature.
Talitha, we need your help. Actually.
Ouch.
Oh, man, this is so tough because you have to do cold now, don't you, Bugs? Or no, are you not all... you don't have to worry about that yet.
No, I do. I always do.
Yeah.
Oscillating John.
Okay, so he's just going to move away back behind Buggles, and he will cast Guidance on Talitha for your next roll, whether that ends up being a save or
Battle attack. Medicine would be more helpful.
Oh, you're down?
Yeah. She gave me.
Oh, I can't battle me. Medicine you. That's why. I remembered. That's why.
Okay, you did it to me today.
Yeah.
Oh, rats.
Actually,
Austin too.
Sorry, I have a question.
We're immune.
Yeah. I have a question because with the oscillating wave, it's just whenever I use magic, it says the text of it that I have here. Whenever I use my magic to add or remove energy, I must balance it with the opposing force. So if I'm just using the cantrip, spell or cantrip as is, and not like, you know, like ignite. I'm not adding energy to it. It just has energy. Does that mean that I have to counterbalance it the next round, or does it mean do I not have to do it?
I don't know. I need a course on.
Yeah, I don't know. And is this all the time? Or I thought that this only happened when
unleashed
your psyche.
No. It's that there's no condition for when I'm the unleashed psyche. It's just all the time.
Okay.
So that's what I don't know.
It says that you are, cast a granite spell or a psi cantrip, and that's a cantrip, right? Ignition.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you cast a psi cantrip, adding energy means adding fire. Removing energy means making it cold. So it doesn't matter if you cast frostbite or ignition.
It switches.
Either way, you have to make it cold in the next one. If the first one's fire.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I think that you're kind of
the thing that I was missing is that it says. When
When you use your magic to add or remove energy?
No. Because there's something in the text I'm missing here, but it's like you have to make a decision when you cast the spell 100% of the time. You have to make a decision whether to add energy or remove energy.
The first time in an encounter that you cast a granted spell or a standard psi cantrip from your conscious mind, decide whether you're adding energy or...
decide whether you're... Yes, so you can't not decide. Yeah. You can't just, like, cast the spell as is.
Choose not to run.
Yeah, choose not to run. So that was what I was missing, so you can stop writing your emails.
Fingers down, everybody.
Ultimately, the way I see this is, like, this is just...
stupid.
It's an opponent that is uniquely designed.
No, yeah, that's you. This is like one of the things where it really hurts me is like having an opponent that I know is resistant to one of these two types of damages I can do, and I have no choice.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like you get one round on, one round off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even fighting, it's tough.
Okay. Is that that was Brother Ramus? Now it's Buggles. Buggles, it's you, right?
It is my turn. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Wait, were you done, Brother Ramus? Yeah, you moved back.
Yeah,
to this
I
guidance.
Moved back, and I granted aid to Talitha.
Right, so now
I'm sorry, guidance
to Buggles is what you said.
No, Talitha.
Oh, to Talitha.
Oh, you did say.
So
because I figured Buggles was on cold this round.
Right. He's on cold duty this round.
He's on cold.
I'm on cold duty
this round.
So Buggles, his psyche is unleashed. It's like this like swirling mass of little tiny ice crystals. And I want to clarify something to Matt Brody, our exceptional cinematographer, raised this question. He wasn't really sure what this was. So the way Kulakan is the spirit, is this vengeful spirit that these the goblin folk, like from where Buggles comes from, that they have knowledge of. And Siaka'ak is this prophesied mythological hero that can harness the power of the Kulakan to free the goblin like people. Mm. So that's when I say Kulakan, like that's the actual being that lives within him. Mm. He hopes to be Siaka'ak one day, or his mentor thought that he might be Siaka'ak one day. Anyway, so the Kulakan emerges and surrounded by cold, knowing that this is not going to affect this creature in the way that he wishes it would. So instead, the Kulakan reaches into Buggles' satchel, produces the hound, places it down on the table, and activates it.
Oh, awesome.
You reach down. Place this tiny little figure on the table, and it's two actions to activate it.
Okay.
And so you activate it, and we'll see you next week.
I don't know if it's good or bad.
Oh my god!
What if it just turns right around on you?
I love that Buggles wouldn't do it, right. But Kulakan would.
Yeah, exactly.
Buggles would never do it. No, but
so
the Kulakan will.
It's like, you coward. Yeah, goes into the satchel, pulls out the.
Yeah.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of The Naish today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join The Naish today at jointhenaish.com.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.